Sub Fool Podcast with Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
We're back.
Back in action. What's happening, dog?
I don't know, man. I haven't been doing much. I've been sleeping late, waking up early.
Lucky.
Paranoid.
Why, fool?
You know, man, you move to a new place. When you move to a new place, I don't care if you move into a mansion, an apartment, a cardboard, or you live in the streets. You gotta get used to the noises that creep you out.
So you're getting acclimated right now.
Yeah, man. Like I hear, like the other night, I was laying down, bro, and at 2 a.m, I thought I felt like somebody running on the roof.
Probably a raccoon, fool.
It was heavy, man. It's
probably a raccoon. No, it's just a house. Oh, okay. I was like, goddamn.
I've never lived in a house. Uh-huh. I just know what I live in an apartment, man. I know when there are people running upstairs. Someone getting punched, you know, or someone using a toilet. I would hear like the plumbing, the water drain all the way down to my room.
Hear the pipes.
But now, man, I hear like a, I felt like somebody was running on top of the roof. I turned the lights on and went outside, nothing, bro.
The shotgun.
Stood awake till 5 a.m, bro.
Damn.
So the light went on, then I felt safe.
Oh, dude, you call the cops right there. The cops will come right away, fool.
They'll come right away?
Right there, they will.
So when I started to go look.
Nothing.
I didn't even go outside, bro. I went to sleep.
Looking out the window. Huh?
We have an alarm system, you know. Uh huh. And I'm all paranoid because I'm watching this show on ID channel called Murder Calls. So they're all 911 calls, bro.
Looks like my house, dog.
Hell yeah. But I noticed that in Murder Calls, it's always a family member. Like, somebody you invite to a barbecue, then that motherfucker come back later and robs it. Fuck that. No more barbecues.
It's usually inside jobs, fool, with everything.
Yeah, usually it's always a family member.
Somebody has a resentment for something, dog.
But yeah, man, murder, the ID channel has everything you could think of with murder. They have murder calls, so just 911 calls. Uh-huh. Then they have vows. Like people who got married and then they killed the husband or the wife killed somebody.
God damn.
Deadly vows. Deadly vows.
For what? The insurance?
Fatal vows.
And for what? The insurance money?
Whatever, bro. She might meet somebody new.
Damn. Man, why get married, dog?
This chick, I saw, you know, she killed her husband, right? Because she was fooling around with somebody. And she kept checking back to see, man, you got that insurance money yet?
Oh, to make sure he already did the paperwork for the
plan
or whatever?
Yeah, every week she kept checking, almost every day. Then at his job, they have one of the little mason jars with his face. Uh-huh. And all his favorite customers could put money in it. That bitch would go every day and collect it, dog.
Oh, my gosh. He's taking that too, fool?
Everything.
Any other little things of evidence she left behind, dog, that caught her ass?
She left her phone records, dog.
Dude. Dummy, dog. I guess she's never killed anybody.
Oh, and also, she asked two people at bars if they want to kill them for her. And they testified, too.
Like, what's a bar back?
It's like this, bro. I can just picture her at a bar. Hey, good set, man. What's your name again? Birdman.
Hey, Birdman.
What do you do for a living? I just do comedy and I ride my bike with my bird. Oh, man. Hey, man, you know anybody that want to kill somebody? I might know somebody.
Shit, I'll do it, bro.
And she was like, she wanted like to pay like, but she was whack. They ratted her out, bro, because she didn't have all the money. First of all, she said, after I get the insurance, you know, we'll all get paid.
Ain't nobody going to kill somebody for no money on credit.
Fuck no, dog.
Fuck, dude. How cool are you with that person, dog?
I probably would, bro, if I hate that motherfucker, dog.
Damn.
Think about it. Somebody might do that, not myself. You know, I don't want to kill nobody. I want them to live in pain their whole life and suffer, bro.
Dude, I just torture the fuck out of somebody, dog.
Dude, did I tell you the story about some guy that he was renting an apartment from someone I know? And
he didn't want to move out or
that
what?
Fool came over, right? And you know, he would hang out, landlord hanging out, right? But that fool found out the fool had a private collection of comic books.
The landlord?
Yeah, so they were partying because he showed him one time. They were partying. Hey, check it out. Hey.
Can't show no one the gold, dog.
That fool went on vacation. That fool came back, got the key, bro, and took the collection, dog.
Are you serious?
So he couldn't prove it, dog. So that was his house, the landlord's house. So he just, God, took, You know, he had his own key.
Still gets along.
So this fool started drilling holes all over her house, bro, and pouring water on them, bro, and then covering them up.
Just fucking up the walls? You giving him that much damage?
He was drilling holes, pouring water in it, and then patching it up, bro.
Getting moldy ass
all over the house, dog.
Black mold.
And then left.
And he never got the comic books back?
No, bro.
Oh, dude, he would have fucked up that fool's walls hardcore, dog.
But that fool collapsed on some bicep, bro. Like, it didn't collapse on nobody.
Oh, my God.
So bro. What's up, fool? Shout out to everybody from the podcast. Shout out to that guy from Australia who said Oz hello. Warrior? Yeah, man. I did a big show on Thursday night.
The Comedy Store show. How was that, fool?
It was good, bro. Harlan Williams. Hell Brian yeah. Callen and The Fighter.
Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, that fool. You could tell the fool the box used to fight, bro. His fucking ear looked like they bit it off and then they sewed it back on.
Oh, cauliflower ear?
Yeah, bro. He took a lot of foots there.
A lot of heels.
I've known fools who are not professional fighters who have ears like that.
They're professional street fighters, dog.
Some fool I used to work with at Dodger Stadium, his ear was like that, bro. And Ivan told me, nah, bro, he was trying to make him smaller, bro, so he cut himself.
Who does that, fool?
Well, who makes up stories like that?
El Catrín, eh?
So, yeah, so he performed Chris D'Elia.
Okay.
And Joe Rogan.
Oh, the powerful Joe Rogan.
Hell yeah, bro. I went up after him.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Ben Glebe.
Ben Glebe.
And Josh Wolf, The Return.
Oh, yeah, man.
His son's 30, I think, I guess.
30?
I don't know. I'm making shit up.
God damn, fool.
But it was a good show, man. You know, it was awesome show. The audience, it was sold out, first of all.
The main room?
Yeah. Sold out. I went up there, did my, I went over, did 19 minutes instead of 15. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Nobody said shit.
That's what's up, though.
Came and I did my new minutes. Stuff, not the stuff that's coming out on a special September 30 on HBO. Not that stuff. I was trying out some newer stuff, darker stuff, you know?
Okay.
But I saw Joe Rogan. I mean, I stood right at the, I don't want to bug people, so I just, when people, comedians were coming in, I was saying hello. Haven't seen Chris D'Elia in forever, said hello. All those fools, Brian Callen, Joe Rogan, bro. That fool invited, he's going to invite, he said, hey, man, I'd like to have you on my podcast.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
So I might be on JRE.
Oh, that's what's up, fool.
So I talked to him, and I invited some guy from, shout out to Louis XIII. They won best pre-joint on the Chalice Festival.
Damn, where's that at?
It was in Victorville, bro.
I think what's his name was on it.
Yeah, he was there, bro. Zone? We don't smoke the same, bro. They took nothing.
Hey, no, that's bro. A powerful ass weed, though, dude.
Louis XIII won first place on pre-roll joints. Uh-huh. And he told me that there was 27 contestants.
Damn.
And three or four or five of them, the weed had pesticide, bro.
Well, see, dude, that's the other thing. I told you, dude, like, you notice when you smoke it. That's what I'm like smoking on.
Pesticide, bro.
Yeah, for to kill the bug so it doesn't kill your weed.
So people stay away from Monsanto Kush. They fucking watering that weed with water from Flint.
Yeah, man.
For pesticide.
Yeah, for you're supposed to use organic pesticide.
I know that, man, you yourself. Well, I remember when we used to go there, I'm not saying we're there buying pounds and shit. But we'll meet somebody like Cachetadas, mm-hmm. That kid that was doing high school. And you notice one day he was trying to get rid of this weed. No, bro, I give it to you for 50 instead of 60.
Because something's wrong mold, with it. Bro. Yeah, something's wrong with it.
Or
dude.
BC. What's up with BC? British Columbia.
British Columbia. It's just a common weed that's a common, like, good weed, but it's so common and it's, like, low quality that everybody has it. It looks like shit, kind of smells like shit. It just, I mean, it's good, but it's not that good. It's not worth $50 an eighth, dog.
40, huh?
Fuck that. 25.
If fool said 25, take me there.
But it's not that good. It gets you so high, you know what I mean? You plateau after a little bit.
So, the guy Stevie from Louis XIII, he showed up to the show.
Hell yeah!
I got that fool in, and he gave me a pack of the Louis pre rolls, the one that were at the Chalice Festival.
Those fat ones.
Those fat ones, bro. So right away, bro, I saw Joe Rogan. I give that fool one. That fool lit it in the back.
Oh, really?
Smoked it in the back of the Comedy Store, and then went up on stage. And he brought me up with, man, this next comedian, man, he got me high as fuck backstage right now.
Powerful joint.
Powerful, bro. Tremendous. It was a joint that made Joe Diaz take his clothes off. Come out with fucking combat boots.
The Cuban Negro.
So, man, it was a good, he brought me up, man, real tight, you know, real funniest man, one of the funniest guy in the world.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So that was badass. So I told the crowd, man, got Joe Rogan high with Louis the 13th.
Hell yeah.
Everybody got all happy. Then some fool said, I got Louis the 13th too. Some fool sitting by himself, bro, with red eyes, bro.
That's all you need when you bro, got Louis the 13th.
His eyes,
nobody.
His eyes looked like he was crying before the show.
Looking like a demon.
Like he was in the zone by himself, bro. He was sitting next to a black couple, happy, dog. I said, won't you adopt this kid? He was out there trying to take photo with everybody.
That was me on the shout out.
Yeah, man. So I did that gig. It was fun. And I saw Chivo there. No, I didn't see Chivo there, did I? Not that night. I did saw Chivo there, bro. I gave him a joint, too,
oh,
a pre-roll. And I gave one to Jason Rouse.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And then it's funny because I had given that guy, Stevie C, the Comedy Store tour.
Oh,
you
hell
know,
yeah.
I gave him the whole tour, where all the rooms are at. And back. But there's more to the Comedy Store now that I didn't know about.
Like the
there's
newer
more
stuff?
Rooms. Remember when we used to go to the smoke and back, and there was in the back when we smoked that joint with that black comedian? Forgot his name. Yeah, but we went to the back, remember?
That one time Eddie Murphy was there?
Yeah, we were in the back smoking at the Comedy Store. We went to the kitchen.
Yeah, where they have that little garden, not with the dirt that goes up to the house.
Well, they got chairs there now, bro. Couches.
All lounged out?
Yes. They have a light. So there's a light. It's fucking kick back, bro. It's no more like smoking butt in the back of the Comedy Store and hiding like a loser, bro. They have chairs, bro. You could network right there. Hey, man, good set, man. Are you having an Netflix special coming out? Yeah. Network. What are you doing here, Jason Rouse? Just hanging out, bro. What are you doing, George?
So his little teeth.
And then the El Chivo, bro. By the way, we call George Perez El Chivo because he has a little goatee right here. And he's a Chivo. So that fool takes me to another spot. That's inside the bar. Like they have a bar inside the bar.
Just for comedians, right?
Yes.
And their friends.
And go in there, and it was all red, bro. And it's like a private bar for the other paid regulars or comedians that show up with a coked out chick. You know, they want to get her all fucked up, more coked out. You take her back there, dog.
Hell yeah.
Fucking badass.
Yeah, it's all plush, dude.
It's a good time to be a comedian, bro.
Oh, yeah, dog.
I'm seriously, man. Al Madrigal been trying to invite me over. Calling for spots. I said, I don't know, man. I feel weird. Everybody gets bumped. But no, man. Nobody did more than the allotted time. Like, it was 15 minutes. They might have went over 4-3.
Right.
But they didn't go to 25. None of that shit, bro, going over 10 minutes.
Back in the day
shit? No,
when
the
star turns on, that means keep going.
It means the I just got approved.
A geege.
So I go back on Saturday night. To the Comedy Store and do the podcast. Fucking Uber that shit over there, right?
All the way.
Took 30 minutes to get there. Close. And I ran into fucking, guess who has the baddest car there?
Who, fool?
Pauly Shore.
What's he have?
Dude? Oh, my God. He has a convertible classic car, bro. Green, dog. It's a Chevy Malibu, bro. And he comes in, bro. Fucking snapshotting all the way into the Comedy Store because I checked his timeline, dog. He goes, bro, do his voice. I'm going to give you some things, some clues and hints that he was saying, and you do his voice, bro. First of all, there was no power in Silver Lake, so that food didn't shower. So he was complaining the whole time there was
feeling
no power.
Feeling a little musty, bro, in my Malibu.
Yeah, so he was at home saying that he can't take a shower because it gets too dark to finally close.
No Chinese soup tonight, buddy.
So there was no, it was, yeah, buddy, got no lights, bro. What's going on, bro? So the fucking dude all musty, he just leaves. And he gets to the Comedy Store, Pauly Shore. And as soon as I see him, I stop what I'm doing here talking to somebody and I'm yelling out, Chinese soup! Nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Except
Chinese handful? Soup! Chinese soup! Hey, buddy, come here, buddy. He fucking turns on his Snapchat and he records me, bro. Chinese soup!
Dude, those Snapchats are funny as
fuck. How you been, bro? We should have seen him, bro, complaining all fucking day, all night. Then when he gets home, it's even darker, dog.
Oh, still dark when he
gets
home.
Still dark. AC didn't go on till morning, bro.
Oh, my God.
And it was 100.
It was 106 on Saturday, dog. God damn.
So I do the podcast, the Comedy Store podcast. I don't know when they release it, but it's on All Things Comedy with Eleanor Kerrigan and Rick Ingram.
Okay, hell yeah.
Fool, I didn't think about it until I did the podcast with them, that Rick Ingram and Eleanor Kerrigan, they've been around when the Comedy Store was dying out, when it was, you know, it was happening, then it was dying out.
Right.
But then the only happening room was Fat Tuesday.
Right, right.
And then it died out again, and then Carlton here and Joe Rogan had the little dispute, you know. And then Joe Rogan left, then he came back. But those two always been there, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They never left.
Hell no. And that back then when she used to be a waitress back in the days, right? Before she started working with Dice. She used to date Dice, right? Wasn't she with Dice?
Massage his shoulder or something.
Right. Get the kink out, Eleanor. Yeah, fool, those were those days, dog. Remember, that fool used to do like an hour, dog. An hour. Easy. When you used to wear the cloaks, fool.
I remember I was telling you about getting bumped. I said, I remember getting bumped by Eddie Griffin. But I like, everybody else was pissed off. Me, I was like, fuck, I get to see a free for Eddie Griffin show.
Hell yeah.
And I stood there, bro. Like, the stuff that he was saying was like, a lot of the stuff was not even fucking comedy. It was a lot of like.
The journey.
I love the journey. Him falling off the chair, him talking about, you know, pretty much stuff that I would normally tell somebody when I'm drunk personally, like, oh, fuck this guy, fuck Ernie G, or fuck the devil, you know, or get it really in deep.
Inner thoughts
and that's
and
the kind of shit that Eddie Griffin would tell the audience, bro. They didn't know what the fuck he was talking about, but I did.
It's when every time he would finish a story, he'll ask for the little champagnes. Give me another Paul Mooney. Yeah, dude. That's how one day he was wearing all white. He finished filming a movie or some shit. Said he was rusty or some shit. We're there for 3 hours, dog.
It's weird, like when Eddie Griffin one time, his type of bitterness is different from my type of bitterness back then. he was in there, man, and I remember he was. If you ever have him on a podcast, I will bring this story up because it's true. He was in there bummed out, dog. First of all, because Malcolm and Eddie was still on the show. I don't know if he was still on the show or was in reruns, but I guess through some lawyers and all that. The whole time that the song was playing, Malcolm and Eddie, the theme song, Eddie Griffin helped write that shit. So he never got shit.
No credit.
So finally, you know, he was finally about to get something. Man, these motherfucking Warner Brothers been holding out on $5
million,
man.
Damn. A mad stash.
But that's when you're like, I guess, I don't know what's wrong with comedians that they could just work. Probably because I've been doing it for a longer time and I didn't get, like, success in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a lot of success in my 20s, but I see, like, Dane Cook, you know, he had his brother do his accounting and he fucking ended up taking half of the shit.
It was like half-brother or some shit. I heard he fucking took, like, $14 million, right? Straight jacked that fool, buried it all over the country. Now he's out of jail, scooping up his cheese.
Damn, bro. How could you go? I was talking about it, Brian, like, when people, like, don't pay the rent or... How can you go 5 months, 6 months without paying the rent and expect to still be there?
I don't know, fool. I think that's
just do that, though?
Fuck yeah. That's some
What's
weird...
the law in California about missing rent and when they kick you out?
You get what? In California, we get three days and quit, but it depends. In L.A. County, I know you can at least extend it like 3 months, 90 days, but I know Riverside County, they're more on like the landlord side. Here in L.A., it's more like a renter's. They're on the renter side, but, you know, it's different in every jurisdiction, but, yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened.
So, I hung out at the Comedy Store. It was exciting, bro. It was like
brought you back and shit or what?
Yeah, man. It was a lot of people there. The main show was sold out. Good lineup. Joe Rogan wasn't on the show because he was in Las Vegas at that UFC fight. Joe Diaz, I don't know where the fuck he was. But I got to hang out with the comedians there. I met that comedian that was on the Rose Battle, Frank Castillo.
Yeah, yeah,
he's cool fool.
Okay, he's the one from with
San
glasses?
Jose. Yeah. Remember we talked about, I told him that you and I talked about how they brought him up all mariachi style and all that shit.
I don't know Spanish or some shit like
that. Yeah. Fool, him and I were talking and he said it was worse than what we saw.
Then what the fuck happened, dog?
He said it was worse. They want to add other shit, but he fucking fought all that stuff. But then he said, listen, man, if you're going to bring out that stuff, at least bring the American flag out too. So to let them know.
Because I told you on those roast battles, I seen a couple, dude, and they're like, mad racial, dog.
He said it was worse than the stuff that got deleted. He had to fight to get some stuff out. He goes, come on. And then a lot of his Trump jokes that he was throwing about Barron Trump, he had a shitload of them.
Didn't get aired?
Didn't get aired. They didn't want to put them on.
And that would have been killer.
Of course, dog.
See, that's the thing that fucking sucks, dude.
So that fool's cool, man. Little young fool. Chivo, I didn't know that him and Chivo, they were on a lot of young comics, but he's not a paid regular. I saw Byron Bowers.
Okay, he came to your wedding with Marcelo.
Yeah, man. Who did I ran into? Brett Earns, bro.
Oh, I'm through blue.
Threw me off.
Why, fool?
Motherfucker's chewing tobacco, dog.
God damn.
This fool had like a little tobacco thing on his chin. Ping. Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Used to be a baseball player or something?
Spittoon,
or
bro. The comedy store, I did spittoons.
God damn, fool. I chewing tobacco like a shortstop.
And what happened, bro? You do too many shows in Florida. But everybody.
Don't they smoke cigars over there, though? What the fuck's all this tobacco shit?
I don't know, man.
Midwest thing, though?
Yeah, man.
East Coast thing? Some chew? Fucking remember talking about Martin with that snuff?
Snuff.
That was a little 6 month thing. What's that all about?
I don't understand snuff, man. But
stimulants.
I could do a little snuff right now.
Oh fuck that! I don't like fucking smoke cigars every now and then. That's it though, though.
Man, but there's also a lot of comedians that weren't going up that were there too.
Yeah, well, I thought like you can't hang out, dude. Like
you can't hang out.
Oh, you can?
I don't know.
Or you have to come in with a comedian. There's like rules now to go to the comedy store.
No, but we're outside. You know, right there by the outside by the parking lot.
Okay. Yeah, because to kick it in that one room, I went in there one day with Joe Diaz because I went with Joe Diaz.
Oh, the bar, the red bar.
Yeah. But
you have to have a spot, or you have to be a paid regular.
Yeah, I have to have a spot, a paid regular. Or you have to be a guest of a comedian. Yeah, he has to go in there with you. Yeah, it's like you can't chill like before.
George brought me in. But I'm a paid regular.
Yeah, you know my name's on the wall over in the front, though, on the top.
And they had a spot.
Yeah,
but they probably, Lisa was there.
Yeah, they probably don't know you yet or none of that shit. You know,
they know me.
They all like
they were all cool, man. Like, I met the GM or manager Richie.
I don't
used to hang around with Joe. I think if you see him, you might recognize him. He used to hang around with Freddie Soto on the Freddie Soto days.
Back in the day,
Richie. He looked Italian. He had blue eyes. And then there was another guy, and he said. They were pretty cool, bro, because when I said I wanted to get a coffee, that fool went to go get it.
Okay.
So, fool, they have when we did the comedy, we did the podcast inside the comedy store in the basement. Guess where the basement is? Another hidden gem.
Not right when you walk in, to the left?
Yeah, right there where the bathroom is.
Yeah, they have the little.
See, I didn't even know that.
That gate?
I didn't know that.
I went down there one time with Noe Gonzalez, dude.
Back in the days to get what, chairs?
He took me down there to see some old checks, like Chris Rock checks and all this shit. Eddie Griffin checks. They never cashed them. They never took them.
Fuck. I was tripped out on that when I used to go pick up my. These checks, by the way, if you're listening, they're checks that are given by the Improv or the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory. These are checks that you get at the end of the week. When you do a show, they're Monday through Friday or Saturday, right? Monday through, usually they pay, if you're paid regular, it's Tuesday through Saturday you get paid. And you don't get paid Sunday shows, I think. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it works. But every week there's checks. And I remember picking up my $60 check, both $30 check from fucking the Laugh Factory. And I see a check there for fucking Bob Saget, $2,000. You know, or I see a check from another comedian and shit for $600, $400, $800, $300, $200, all expired.
Damn.
Me and Paula Bell are there trying to get $25.
Yeah, dude.
Those shit's coming in handy.
Fuck yeah. Reminds me, I got to go get one from the Laugh Factory.
Fool, Adam Murray drove to Chicago to pick up that check.
I thought he said he drove to Cancun, dog.
No, the Laugh Factory had a check there for him. And that fool went to go pick it up.
In Chicago?
$30.
Damn.
No, he didn't go pick it up. They mailed it to you, right?
Yeah. They mailed it to him like, what, 2 months after the spot or some shit he said?
I remember the Improv gave me a check for $15 for doing a set, and they took taxes out, bro.
Oh, my God, dude.
That shit was $10.
Wow, they fucking skimped you on those taxes, dog.
I got loaded that day and tried to sign it off to the waitress like Chris Fonseca. Fool, Chris Fonseca had a check for $30, $30 at the Laugh Factory, and he ordered a bunch of drinks, and he was trying to sign the check off to Lisa, I think.
Until the end of the night.
For another time, Mike Epps ran off without paying Lisa. She caught that fool a month later at the Laugh Factory with the same receipt. They made you pay for it, huh? Mika's didn't.
That's fucked up.
Chibi
though,
didn't care, bro. You pay.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that should be on the club though. If a star does that, that's fucking put it on the waitress, dude.
Lame, dude. I'm gonna do that one day, bro.
That's fucked up, dude.
Walk out of there. Sorry.
Next time.
Fool.
What's up?
I'm changing, dog.
Well, what happened, fool?
Got me a Costco card.
And?
Never had one in my life.
Now you're buying in bulk.
Well, I only been there once in my life.
They got vegan
I
shit?
I went there with Gabriel. Oh, I went there with Gabriel once, and they have organic, but we got to talk. This reminds me, bro, when, because see, Costco sells in bulk, but I didn't know that, right? Because I'm used to just Walmart or Target or Sears, but I didn't know. Now I know where Martin got his food at that one time. Remember we went to Martin's house, and that's a big old 20-pound of chorizo, dog? Fuck.
It lasts all month, dog.
Oh, my God, dude.
Slice off a like, little chunk.
I buy chorizo, you know, for the market. It's the little pack, you know. The little, it should be the little tiny pack. Went to Martin Moreno's apartment. That motherfucker had a size of chorizo, the size of fucking salada, the size of fucking bologna, bro.
You gotta take it out back and shoot it, dog.
The professional showed up, bro. Just finished shooting the professional. Part two.
Leon
the professional.
Yes. Yo.
What's up, fool? We got Sam Tripoli here.
In the house.
Introduce him, Joey Diaz style.
How you doing? We got Sam Tripoli in the house. I don't know what the fuck's going on with that head, but it's here. But I'm saying, cocksucker, I'm a little lit tonight.
I don't know what the fucking yellow hair is against the fucking rules.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about dyeing my ball hair and shit. You know what I'm saying?
And then about the hee-hees and the ha-has.
Not anymore, you know what I'm saying? Not no
yes.
more.
Yes. How you doing? Happy to be here, dude. You guys are 25 minutes into this?
27.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, what time did it start? Oh, it's
noon.
This is
no,
normal?
You're good. We, you know, did a little intro first and shit.
Okay.
We did a little intro, man. We're talking about how I haven't been to the Comedy Store in eons.
Days, huh?
Days since before Tommy was there.
You haven't been there in forever?
Well, I've been there like to do like a showcase when I was with Maverick.
Yeah, that was what, 2011?
Yeah, and then all the comedians that were Maverick would be there, Dante, me, and Jay London.
Thank what you. An interesting group.
Yeah,
huh?
Bro, they never got rid of us. I went to our main agent, left to become the comedy lead, the lead agent at Abrams. Damn. And he dumped us all. All he took, the only actor he took was the actor from that fucking Saved by the Bell.
Who, Screech?
No, Mr. Belding.
Oh, snaps.
He took Mr. Belding.
What a great story.
And dumped us all, bro.
Damn, Mr. Belding?
Yeah. For when we would do that, we would be that showcase, dog. It'll be the
man, I remember
it'll
that
be
dude.
The unsung heroes of comedy, bro. It'll be me, Jay Davis, Italian Dante, Jay London, Mr. Belvin hosting, dog.
It was I remember
sad,
those
bro.
Shows.
Nobody would show up, bro.
Nobody, dude.
And then the fucking this guy actor turned comedian. It was the actor from the Office Space. Hey, guys, you want to order some food, guys? He was he worked at Shooters. He worked at anyway.
Suspenders,
that guy. Suspenders, yeah.
Who the
he had a little flair, bro, in Office Space.
Dude, you just think about all the crazy gigs you used to do, and like how you're just trying to get something going, and you just put yourself in like the worst positions possible. Some people think having a bad manager is better than having no manager. I completely disagree with that.
I agree too, man. Right now, you're thinking about, man, that list, nobody was there. I was thinking right now, fuck it. I was fucking nervous for nothing.
Yeah.
I want to take back. I want to take back my nervousness, bro. I want to take back those me preparing for that show, picking up my clothes.
I wish they had a time machine. You just go back and clean away, shit up.
Being nervous, dog. Worried about shit.
When you're not even supposed to, huh, dog?
Our agent, Jay Schachner, Schachter, all he did was took everybody that got past at the last comic standing and said, you know what, I'm going to fucking manage these guys.
Yeah. Hold on, dude. Now, is he still going?
Yeah, he's a lead agent at Abrams Artists. Yeah.
You
know
who
that guy is, right?
I totally remember all those.
He tried to take Lunel. But that guy, Joe Diaz connected me to him.
Yeah. You remember that one night you hooked me up with him to do voices? I called that motherfucker 7 times. Nothing.
I would go in there, bro, to re-sign again for another year of no work. Right? And I felt bad that I'm going to be on this with agency again, and I have not put in nothing. I have not put in no money towards them. And I see all the young, because their main thing was child actors, by the way.
Oh, that's how
that's always yeah. good. When their main thing isn't what you are,
yeah,
that's
their main thing was child actors. Because I remember going to the, because every Christmas they have a party, right? And everybody's happy, bro. Happy. And I'm there hanging out with a comedian going, I guess these are the ones that keep this company afloat.
Yeah, dude.
The worst thing in this ship. Bunch of little kids excited. They're happy, bro. They're a Nickelodeon show. They're happy to be around a bar.
Yeah. That's, dude, the chaos of your early careers, huh?
They didn't let us. I was happy to let they let me in this time. I had a fucking, actually, an invitation to go in. We're just smoking pot instead of going in. It was like, man. But you believe it at that time, Brown.
That's cool, though, man.
I know comics right now, young comics, Marcin Rizzo. That'll be exciting, bro.
But there's also, it's like so interesting how like we believe all suits are created equal. Like they're all equally smart and they're all equally
that's a good fucking line.
They all equally work the same way, and it's not true. You there's just like there's bad comics, there's bad suits who have no clue what the fuck they're doing. I had a friend of mine win a major talent contest. Her manager did nothing with it. Like, nothing. And you're just like, if she had been with a different person at that time, who knows where her career could have been? It literally is a crapshoot. And that's why there's, like, certain guys, like, you're really hoping to get with because they have a track record of getting shit done. But then you try to get these people. Like, I always made the mistake of signing with friends. That was the worst thing. Like, some waitress decides she wants to be a manager. She's like, hey, can I manage you? And you'd be like, oh, somebody loves me, right?
So, transformation over
you. You know? And then you're like, oh, it didn't work out a year later. Wonder why.
That's funny, but when I was a manager, when I was like, when I won last comic standing, I had I went to meet everybody, bro.
Everybody wanted their little piece.
Everybody that wasn't looking at me twice before, right? Everybody that I probably scored drugs for before. You know, and there were some people that wanted to take a meeting who I knew, bro. And I said, fuck you, I gotta take a meeting with your ass. I saw you at Dublin many years.
Yeah.
You and I passed by.
Yeah.
And now you wanna take a meeting, dog? Fuck that, dog. I saw you cock block people. Don't want to take a meeting with you.
Now I got something to work with, buddy.
No, there's famous stories of Freddie Soto being with a manager or an agent, and they fucked him because someone called to sign, like, wanted him and Pablo Francisco to do a show, and the agent's like, his own agent's like, you don't need them, dude. We got Carlos Mencia, dude. You want Carlos will come and kill. You're like, that's your
We're
own
We're talking about
dude.
The same manager here.
You know, for your old fucking dude, man.
The guy that used to be big back in the day.
What's
big,
that?
The East Coaster, the brother. Yeah. G. Riley's friend. I'm going to drop names and shit.
But there was, like, I noticed, like, I took a meeting with everybody when I was in the top 6, you know? Then I just waited it out. And then when I won, I was at a meeting one time, and people were like, I heard, like, hush, 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 hush. You know, APA wants to have a meeting, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm just letting it flow, right? Let it happen, you know. But I never signed officially with APA, but I was with APA. But then my agent from APA got fired, or they didn't want to work with him no more.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's what the worst when you guys decide, huh? They're begging you to stay.
Or you have like a deal with a network, and you're like, it's all go, and then all of a sudden the president gets fired, and it's regime change, and you're like, fuck, I've seen so many great ideas. Like my show on Spike TV 10 years ago, but we were getting like the fucking best ratings on the network. Regime
what show
change.
Was this?
It was called Wild World of Spike. And it was
That's right, man. You would do some crazy ass shit.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was gonna do that shit. They're just like, you want a TV show? I'm like, yeah. And they're
you
like
doing jackass shit, dog.
Yeah, I didn't even I was so bad. I hated
you
it.
You fucked up your back one time too, right?
Yeah, I fucked my back up. I learned what a hematoma is. Do you know what a hematoma is?
No, man.
That's where like it's a
bruise.
It's a bruise,
you got
it's
dragged,
like a
right?
Blood bruise. It looks like you're the what is that one Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with the resistance where the guy comes out of your gut, whatever that.
Yeah.
It looks like just giant thing coming out of wherever it happens, dude. It's
yeah, I got
scary.
One, but I wasn't on a TV show. I fell off a ladder.
Yeah.
That's a badass Raiders shirt, by the way. I didn't know you were a Raider fan, dog.
Huge one, dude. Been one for fucking ever.
You're from
man.
LA, right?
I'm from upstate New York.
You Italian or Armenian?
I'm Italian and Armenian.
All
I'm
right,
both.
My friend.
Oh, I thought you were like all Armenian. Okay, that's cool.
I'm half, dude. I'm half both. And it's like I don't fit into either world, actually. Like, that's why I'm my own dude, you know? And it's just like when I moved out here, everyone's like, why are you claiming Armenia? I'm like, because all the Italians are like, hey, I shit lasagna, you know? And it's like so Guido. But the Armos are just, they're their own things, too. They always want me to do their shows, and it's just like, I'm not that dude, man. I'm not that dude. I'm a weird guy. You know, I love it, though. I love it. So
you're originally from New York? I thought you were from Glendale or something.
No.
No, Hollywood. I knew you were from the East Coast.
Yeah, upstate New York, just outside of Syracuse, okay. Which is so fucking redneck. I didn't realize it till I left. And then I look back at my life and, like, I realized, like, I used to, like, be in a breakdancing group where everybody had mullets, dude. We all had long fucking mullets.
Damn.
We were sponsored by the Holiday Inn. We get tracksuits with Holiday Inn on them, dude.
Looking like Kenny Powers and shit?
Yeah, 100%, dude. You know? And it was, like, so redneck. And I didn't realize that till I left. I went West Coast, and I went back. I'm like, these guys are fucking hicks, man.
Yeah, man. They're everywhere. Like, fucking motherfuckers from the movie Deliverance, huh?
Yeah, dude, this country's pretty redneck, man.
Oh,
it's
fuck
pretty
yeah,
fucking
huh?
hick, bro. You go up northwest all the way to the Midwest to the it's fucking south, dude. And even like New York State is like way more redneck than people think. Everyone, when you say New York, you think New York City.
Yeah,
that's its own thing. That's its own thing.
Five boroughs,
the rest
that's
of the
it.
Country, the rest of the state is just hick, dude.
I know, man. Like we went to the Poconos on the last Comic Standing tour. Uh-huh. Well, we were in the fucking mountains, bro.
Pennsylvania, no?
No, we were in New York somewhere. We went to a place where everybody that used to go there and perform in the 50s thought.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent to the yeah. Catskills.
All the beds were hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
And they
right?
had adult camping for like, it was like being in one of the places where they shot Dirty Dancing. Those type of places, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A whole resort for your whole family.
Yeah.
Old school 70s style or
and
some
shit. Man, there were some people there that looked like they belong in the South, but they talk like Rocky.
Really? Yeah, dude, it's hick, bro. It's crazy.
They think that people think that New York is just all the New York City, but yeah. It's not, man. There's boroughs.
Yeah,
dude. In New Jersey.
The Dice Man say.
What's that?
The Dice Man said, anybody between L.A. and New York is a farmer.
Yeah, it's true, dude. It's true, man. You go someplace, you're like, God damn, it's 1985 here, man. I used to have a place called the Funny Stop, and it's a wonderful club. My friend Pete owns it. But next to it, you know how there's always, like, there's the club and then across is the bar. Like if you do Edison Improv, there's always the bar next to it. And so next to this bar is it looks like something from fucking Stranger Things. It's like this fucking late 70s, early 80s fucking dive bar. And like, dude, time stops still. Like you go around, people are still wearing the Jennifer Aniston haircut
damn.
And the Sunday school sweater.
Parachute pants.
Yeah.
Very in need of gentrification.
It's very weird, dude. It's very weird. Time just stops.
I remember going to El Paso and doing a gig over there with El Paso Mexicans. People over there were wearing, this was 1999, 2001.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Since 1995. But the first time, that was 95, huh? 96. But struggling, you know, up and down. Got somebody pregnant and quit for a year and a half. Nobody noticed. What happened to you? You got locked up? Nah, I'm back.
I was on tour. What are you talking, like chewy Mexicans from El Paso? Like those type of Mexicans?
Yeah, man. And they were still wearing that fucking Tommy Hilfiger clothes,
yeah.
Bro. Like this guy said, let me go change shirts. And all he did was go to his house and put on a Tommy Hilfiger shirt to go to the club.
So dog. There's a big difference. I saw a video one time that was like the difference between California Mexican and Texas Mexican. Is there a big difference?
Yeah, because those guys, in Texas, first of all, those Mexicans are Tex-Mex.
Right.
They're more Texas than they are Mexican.
Yeah, they're Lone Star Mexicans.
Lone Star.
But it's like now you see more like Mexicans like us that are like speak Spanish and their like, parents came from Mexico. Opposed to before, they're like in the 90s, there were more of those like, it's all about brisket, man.
Yeah, before I was
Chipotle. What's
corny
soda, man?
My first time in Texas, I saw this Mexican guy. Well, he was not a Mexican guy. He was a Tejano, a Texan. And I thought, this fool did not speak fucking English.
Like, yeah, no,
I did not know he speak fucking English, right? So I spoke to the motherfucker in Spanish because he was like, in LA, in California, sorry, man, but I thought you'd be at Home Depot and I'm looking for work. But this guy's actually a homeowner somewhere. You know, he runs a business. He got very offended. I said, hey, man, no sabe donde está el Riverwalk porque estoy muy bien perdido, está para allá. No, no sé donde está. Hey, man, I'm from Texas.
I don't speak no
he got
Spanish.
So pissed off.
Offended and shit,
huh? Offended, Republican,
is that
Mexican.
Big in that? Is that big in the Latino, the Mexican community? Like, the difference between, like, first or second generation and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's still a Mexican, though.
Right? Yeah, man. Mexican, but
I don't understand. Like, you get Latino, some Mexicans, well, I'm third generation, fifth generation. What are you, fucking tequila now, bro? Now, but I would say that my son would be first generation.
No, you're first
not
generation.
Really, because you've been here since you were a kid.
Yeah, who were you? Where's your parents
four.
From?
You don't have none Mexico. Of the. You don't have okay. none of the Mexico, Mexico customs though. You grew
you're
up here.
You're first
dog.
Generation. He's second generation.
I'm from Mexico.
Yeah, technically.
I love she has to tell you that you are from.
But
Mexico.
You didn't grow up with like being in Mexico. Like you didn't. You know, you didn't go back to go take the botellas. To
hell
fucking,
no.
You know, you didn't fucking drink coke out of the bag. Maybe you might have seen it, but you left Mexico as a blur. Well, you grew up in L.A.
Hell yeah, man. My like when I think. When I speak Spanish, I think about it in English first, then I translate it.
Yeah, and
so
like
it's
Philip
be a time delay.
Has no concept
what are you
of
dreaming?
That.
I dream in English.
Yeah, there
but
you
sometimes,
go.
Bro, I speak fluent Chinese in my dream too, though.
Don't figure out what I'm
for
saying.
For real,
at night.
Sometimes, man, I'm singing song with Paul McCartney, dog.
Oh, dude.
Having a conversation with Letterman, bro, making him laugh.
Is that what you always wanted to do?
Nah, but I dreamt about it one time. I have dreams, man. When I'm on stage, man, I can't talk. You ever had that dream?
I, dude, you want to hear?
Or
the
late to a gig.
I did a gig once when I first started in Vegas with a buddy of mine named Mark Hatchell, and he had the worst stage fright. So we did a talent contest. We were given 7 minutes on stage. I go up. I'm just filthy. I mean, like, as dirty as I am now, I was dirty back then, but that's when everybody's working.
She wanted a gutter dick.
So I'm doing my thing. The old people are like, you know, and I get off and they invite my friend Mark on stage. And dude, for 7 minutes, he just freezes and he's just breathing into the microphone.
Shoot this fool with a BB gun.
So 7 minutes. So they give him the 2 minute light and he's like, already? Like he didn't even talk the whole time, dude.
That would be funny, man. The whole time he'll go like this and he could have closed with, Luke, I'm your father.
Pontificating. God damn. You started in Vegas, dude?
I started comedy in Las Vegas.
Damn.
Where at? Four Queens.
No, dude. You know, I
there was a lot of rooms?
When I started, they didn't let local comics go up.
It's tough on the local.
I was probably like a hardcore exclusive over there, huh? Only professional comedians?
Well, because they would fly all these, their openers out from Las Vegas. Out from Los Angeles. Now.
China Man was doing it.
Dude, China Man, dude.
Killing it.
Do you want to hear the funniest thing? Like, I had this crazy weekend.
China Man is a comedian that used to live with Paulo Francisco, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
They have similar acts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Minky told us that story, right?
Yeah, Gary Minky.
So I was out there, and I get hired to play the Essen Improv, and it was the last time I played the Essen Improv. I haven't played it in years, dude. So they fly me out, and I get up, and Trey, I think was his name.
Trey, yes.
Trey's great. Trey's like, yeah, man, we got our best feature out here. We want to see how you could do. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you trying to set me up? Like, I'm your headline. Like, what are you trying? And that's why I realized, like, when you're a comic from L.A. and you're doing the circuit, in a weird way, like, you're like Bruce Lee and you're just going dojo to dojo fighting everybody's best masters because everyone's like, oh, I could be in L.A. I should be in L.A. They're not that fucking funny. So I go out there and who's featuring for me is Chinaman. And he's really nice, dude. I enjoyed working with him. But I have a crazy Carlos Mencia story from that fucking time. He bumps me, dude.
Mencia does?
Yeah.
At the Essen Improv?
At the Essen Improv!
Fuck! Both of them flew out there just to bump somebody. Yeah. He was doing hyenas.
Damn, dog.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. He used to bump me at the store all the fucking time. He'd
and on the road. Fuck this then motherfucker.
I see little Brad Williams waddle in. I'm like, Brad. I'm like, ah.
People said waddling, dog.
Yeah. And I love Brad, and it wasn't his fault. You know, he's just trying to get stage time.
It was his masters.
But it was his owners. But when and then I saw Carlos come in, he doesn't even shake. He shakes my hand, but he doesn't even look me in the eye.
And those back in those days when just be all.
When he was just like, you know. So if you listen to him on Mark Maron's podcast, you understand that he wanted to teach people lessons. Like he talked about how he'd like bump people and teach them lessons. So,
sensei, dog.
You know, he comes up and he does. I had a rule with Carlos at that time. If he does anything over 30 minutes, I won't go up because that's a headliner spot. You know, you're starting out.
It is
you're
a fucking headliner spot.
You know, if you're going like 35, that's headliner time, you know? So I'm like, I tell him, if he does a second over 30, I'm not going up. And they go, that's totally cool. He does like 28 minutes, dude. And he is going for fucking blood, homeboy. I mean, like, you could just tell he is trying to rip the roof off this place and put me fucking 6 feet deep.
What the fuck Syracuse said.
Yeah. And he goes, at the end, he goes, all right, man, it's been my time. Place explodes, right? And then he goes, are you ready for your final comic? And collectively, the entire room just goes, oh. Like, somebody has to follow this, and I got tunnel vision, dude. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that dude is me, man. That dude is me. Now, for the last, like, 10, 12 years, I've been at the Comedy Store following, like, Dice, Joe Rogan, Eddie Griffin, like, night after night. So, I mean, I had skills, but I was just like, oh, dude. So I walk up, and he does the worst thing a comic can do to another comic, in my opinion. After stealing jokes, the next thing is he left the stage empty. He fucking introduced me, ran off. I was coming this way. He ran off that way. So now we're not even like shaking hands. Thanks for letting me go up in your show. Leaves the fucking stage. I go up and I have this one joke I do that for some reason always kills at the famous people. I drop it. Place explodes. I end up killing for 40 fucking minutes to an hour, man. But he tried to fucking bury me, dude. The problem is then I go to the bar next door, the fucking piano
bar. Dueling piano bar?
And
yeah.
Everyone's like, they literally go, dude, you fucking followed him. That was fucking great. Like, they were like, we became a team, right? And they're just buying me shots and shots. I'm blackout drunk by the. They have a third show. A fucking. I don't even remember them having a third show. They're like, are you ready for next show? I'm like, what?
Are you serious?
There's like an 11:30 midnight show.
Pull out that mullet and those breakdancing pants.
Back then it was $7.99.
God damn, dude.
I just did the suns. St. Louis Funny Bone. And they're like, yeah, we got three shows. I'm like, three shows? It's a great, you ever play? It's a fucking wonderful club, man. But three shows. I'm just a stage whore and I love it. I'll just gig anytime I can do stamp. But man, I'm blackout drunk at this fucking final show, dude. And it was, hey, guy.
Did Mencia go up again?
What's that? No. He took off, dude. He took his
life. Nah, yeah, Juan Villarreal go up this time.
The Texas tornado.
Yeah, so it was crazy, dude.
God damn, dude. So what happened with Chinaman, dog? Then,
well, that was the whole thing. Chinaman, he had great sets. It was sound effects and all. He did great, man. He did fucking great. He had fun. He was like had his girlfriend, and then he had a girl he was having a threesomes with, and they showed up, and it was
a crazy motherfucker, dog.
Dude, I had a great time. It's just it was so funny. Trey trying to tell me, he's like, "We're sending our best at you." I'm like, "Why?" Like, what is this about? Like, it's not good for anybody. You trying to bury me here.
L.A. ain't shit.
Fuck, I can't believe myself showed up and just did like
28 minutes? Yeah, dude, that's a record. I never heard of that one. I thought he was going to go on for the marathon and
but
shit.
But I can't believe he just showed up like, hey, Brad Williams shows up, hopping and shit.
But back then, that's probably when he was at his highest then, right?
No, actually, that's
or a little
when
bit before or
that
after.
That was when it was starting to go downhill.
Okay, after the show?
It was after the Joe Rogan snuff tape thing comes out. And then it gets fucking, then it got weird, you know? And I don't know, I guess he's going around doing apologies.
Right, the redemption tour?
Yeah.
That's what it's called?
Well, that's what he's fucking saying on the Joey Diaz podcast and shit. He wants to make amends and shit.
You ever done those David Tribble runs?
I never did a Tribble run.
Me neither.
No, on the Tribble run.
No,
huh?
Dude, but I've had so many shit gigs, dude.
He has a Tripoli run, bro. You do Dublins? Nah.
How many times? You do Dublins a lot? Dude, can I just say how happy I am and how awesome it is that I think how you've blown up, and I think
Thank
it's
you.
So fucking fun.
I mentioned you at the with Ahmed Amel here.
Yeah, dude.
Because there was one time I showed up at Dublin's and you and I were trying to get up, and I got up, and then I did like 10 minutes, but it was good. Then you sat down, bro. You're up to like a rock star status.
Yeah.
You shouldn't leave here this place, bro. Something's going to happen tonight.
I'm going to get laid.
You're always killer, man. I feel like you just... You know what's so funny is when you were on Last Comic Standing, I go, he's going to win that. I knew you were going to win.
Thanks, man. I did.
And it just fucking... Yeah, dude. And I love that it's blown up. And you worked with Claude on your fucking HBO thing. He's a good friend of mine. I think it's fucking great.
We did Comic Without Borders together.
Yeah. Oh, dude, can I tell that story? So...
Do tell.
I'm friends with Russell Peters. And Scott Montoya.
Yeah.
And Scott was really cool. And Scott's like, Triple A, I'm trying to get you in to... this thing, but there's not enough budget. I'm working on it. So he calls me up. He's like, Russell's really cool. He's giving up his clothes budget. We're going to get you in the show. I'm like, dude, that's fucking great. So I show up, and they're like, okay. So everybody is, it was like, all my friends are headlining, and then they have these openers who now are wonderful comics, but they all just started at this point. So these guys are all getting like, fucking softball pitches to follow. I walk up and they're like, yeah, you're going on after Felipe. I'm like, why do I have to follow Felipe, right? So it was like this. So Felipe's on stage, and the best way to describe it is when Von Damme is in Bloodsport. You ever remember Bloodsport?
Yeah.
And he's just all of a sudden hears, boom, boom. But he's like, what the fuck is that? Boom, boom. And he walks around and he looks out, and Tom Poe is just fucking... hitting the fucking cinder blocks, fucking mill. Boom, boom, boom. And he's like, what the fuck is this? That's how I felt when I was listening to Felipe up there fucking murder this fucking room. Just the fucking room is shaking. I'm like, what the fuck is going on there? I'm like, why do I have to be the guy that follows him, dude? So luckily, I hadn't done stand-up for a long time, and I had a good set. Based on the comments on our video, I bombed, but in my view, it was fucking, I had to follow the dude, you could have easily been the one closing it that night, but I had to follow you, and it was like, I always talk about, I've had to follow two of the hardest comics ever to follow in comedy. I had to follow Felipe Esparza at the Comics Without Borders, and then I had to follow fucking Cat Williams at the fucking Chocolate Sundays live on the Sunset Strip, and just like that time, your time, I hadn't done stand-up on TV for a while. And I'd gone to Montreal and bombed. Because I tapped into something for my audition that I didn't know how to do. So they brought me up there and they made me follow Corey Holcomb. Then, who like, I don't, how old is Corey Holcomb? Does anyone know? This was 20 years ago and he was a 20-year vet then. The guy's like... 1,000 years old, man.
Just some good genetics player.
Yeah, you know?
That's how we do it in Chicago.
Now I can follow him, no problem. But back then, he crushed, and I didn't know what the fuck to do, and I went up there, and I bombed. Anyways, so I'm on this redemption tour, and I just got to show everybody, and Pookie's like, hey, Sam, you want to do Chocolate Sundays? I'm like, fuck yeah. I show up. Who am I following? Cat fucking Williams, flamethrower, and I had a fucking great set. I just, it's like, I get thrown in these horrible situations and somehow survive, but following you was the hardest thing I've had to do, like, live. I'm like, why am I doing this live? And it's first fucking showtime, but it ended up going fine. You crushed so hard that fucking episode.
I like my set. I was, back then, man, I can't believe I followed the rules and I went with what they told me to wear, too.
Oh, you're saying that the wardrobe was wet?
I wore a metallic gray shirt, bro. I was sweating like a beast.
You were shining.
I didn't even know what to wear. They told me, wear these clothes. I wish I would have said, nah, man, these clothes don't look good on me. Did you choose your clothes for that show?
I used to only do suits on stage. I used to do suits all the time. Now,
I just sweat too much, so I like to wear nice button-ups. I used to. I haven't done television. I've kind of just made my whole shit off the internet now. I'm going to shoot my own special, put it out as a name your price, and then just work on, see if that can get any traction.
So Owen Smith did that, right?
Yeah, he shot his own one through with iPhones, right?
Yeah, he did. That was crazy. Great. Huh? Seven different
iPhones. You saw it, though?
I haven't seen it, but I hear it's amazing.
Is this your first special?
I have three albums out. My last album called The Diabolical is a two-disc CD that I just put out. It's available on iTunes. The first hour is called The Diabolical, and it's basically stories. The second hour is called Friday Night Late Show, and it's just me eating a dog's dick in front of this fucking really shitty-ass fucking Sacramento Punchline Late Show Friday crowd. And that's one of my favorite clubs, but these are drunk and sloppy. And about 5 minutes in, I realized this is not a crowd you want to record. So then for the next 40 minutes, I just start ripping everybody a new asshole. So for the price of one CD, you get two. This will be my first hour.
I want video.
You started the original Dirty Show, huh?
Started the not there was the
not nasty the show
the nasty
with
show
Belladonna
was, yeah Belladonna
and the porn
dude.
Stars and shit
that show was tight. I remember I did that show, bro. Belladonna had went up after follow her dog.
Damn, what was she doing?
Oh, were you in that show?
Yeah,
when
it
she
was awesome. Yes,
dude, one of
the
I greatest.
I had to follow her, man. I said, how do you follow that? I said, well, I guess you gotta lick this pole,
dude. That
she
moment,
was real pretty, man, with all makeup and all that stuff.
The Naughty Show should have been on television. For some reason, it never happened. It was this weird moment where Hollywood wanted female comedy or nerd comedy, and it didn't fit into both of them. But I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back, maybe do it in Long Beach at Harvell's. But, you know, the problem with that show is I let people define it as a porn show, and it wasn't a porn show. Those were just small parts of a bigger fucking thing. The thing that happened with there is that we got Belladonna to do it. And, like, porn stars are, like, comedians. Like, you know, at the Comedy Store, everybody wants to be at the store now because that's where all the names are. You know, all the porn stars saw Belladonna was doing my show. All of a sudden, they all wanted to do the show because it was a status thing, you know. But when she deep throats I remember I was standing next to Moshe Kasher, and she takes this, like, 12-inch black dong, and she's pole dancing, and she just goes, boom, puts it in her mouth. Pole dances for it, and the room is quiet. Nobody says anything. They're just like, what the fuck?
Damn.
And as soon as she stopped, the place just, you know, it was like, you remember that Michael Jordan commercial where he goes in slow-mo? Like, that's why everyone was just like, oh. And boom, as soon as she got done, the place exploded. I'm like, that's what you want. Because when I started the Naughty Show, I wanted a place to do dirty comedy. And when it started, like, there was nowhere, like, everybody still wanted clean. Like, now it's like you can do you can be you. It's almost like push the envelope. But then it wasn't like that at all. So I said, if I put porn stars on the show, the people who don't like dirty comedy probably won't show up either. I use them as kind of a repellent from people who hate fun, you know? So we give all the sponsors all this weed, and then we moved to the Comedy Store, and it was great. Had a 5-year run, but after a while, you're like, okay, I'm going to take a break, but I'm about to bring it back.
Then another show I did with Sam Tripoli was at that old strip bar that turned into a regular room, the Safari. Safari Sam's, bro. The fool had a fucking burlesque show.
How many of my shows have you done? You've done a lot.
Where's Safari Sam's?
I like the burlesque show, though. Burlesque show was very, very... I was there. I think Eddie F. was on the show. Everybody, and we were all dressed up, by the way. Everybody was dressed up. I was wearing a suit. Lisa wearing a very beautiful dress. The host, this fool, of course, was looking like a Don.
Yeah.
And this fool had, like, real, real burlesque show. And he had a weird guy that was doing Prince. Blew everybody away.
Yeah.
That was an awesome show, too.
Yeah.
That should have been on TV.
It should have been on television, but, you know, it's weird. Now it's like everything's fucking edgy and dirty now, so we'll see what happens. I just love doing it. It's a fun show, and it's a crazy show, but now I got this new show called Comedy Chaos at the Comedy Store. Dude, do you want to know my favorite show I've ever done, and I'm bringing it back in July? It's called the Rock and Pole World Championships. Okay.
The Rock and Pole?
Rock and Pole World Championship, and it's basically where I take a singer and I team him up with a pole dancer, and they become a team. And you remember that old Whitesnake video where it's like, here I go again on my own, and Tiny Katana's just grinding on the car? It's like that. It's like teams.
and it's like a singing dancing competition, and it is the greatest show you'll ever see in your fucking life, dude. It's because it's every song you love, and it's like great pole dancing, and it's choreography, and the place explodes. And we've done it at Viper Room a bunch of times, and we're gonna bring it back. We're gonna live stream it though, and I'm excited, dude. It's a fun show. I'm gonna try to get that on television too. But yeah, this I'm just.
So what do they do? They dance on a pole, and who sings?
They're a team, a singer and a dancer work together. And while the guy sings, the girl does choreography on the pole. And people go fucking nuts. We set New Year's Eve drinking numbers when we do this show. Because people come booze. Everyone's probably doing blow. And it's just a great fucking show. I just love to rock. You know, I just love.
I want to rock!
I love to rock.
When you had that show, and then there was another fool, man. He didn't put me in the show. Then that fool started doing porn, bro.
Damn.
Oh, Phil Verone?
Yeah. He wouldn't put me on the show,
bro. Well, he was in a band or something, too.
I would have choked Skid Row. That day.
Skid Row. And who's the lead singer of Skid Row? Aaron, do you remember? He's white. Sebastian Bach.
Phil Verone would do a show on the days that he wasn't touring, bro, which was pretty much winter. So his show would only be December, November. Then he'll disappear and he won't come back again until December, November, do the other shows.
He lives in Vegas now. I think he's doing stuff up
there. And did a porn in an RV, bro. I saw it.
I think he's also into the swinging community now, like the whole swinging thing.
Dude. I don't want to be in a swinger bar next to a guy with the darkest hair there. You know it's fake, dog.
You know what's so funny is like I've done naughty show during AVNs, and we did it at this famous swingers club.
What's the name of it?
The Green Door. And it's in Vegas. It's a famous one. And it's like, we put the tickets on sale. It sells out $350 in like literally an hour. Ticket's gone. We show up. We do stand up. It's fucking great. Then everyone's hanging out, dude. And it just, swingers clubs is just black guys with dreads making love to big polar bears, just big white chicks. And it's, everyone just sits around and fucking watches it. And it's freaking hilarious. Now, you go to swingers club, usually swingers and nudists are, it's more like a warning, like, hey, I'm about to get naked, watch yourself. But I go to Canada, and dude, they brought me to a swingers club just because I'm the naughty show guy. So they're like, hey, dude, let's bring him to a swingers club. I'm like, I don't really need to go, but okay, let's go. Everybody's good looking. It's the first time I've ever been to a swingers club where everybody's attractive.
I went to a swingers club with Darren Carter, bro.
Oh, my God.
In Phoenix, Arizona.
That the party starter.
That fool. Well, I told Rick Ingram and Eleanor Kerrigan, the Comedy Store podcast, but that fool, like, that fool went to go change, dog. And he came back wearing Richard Simmons shorts.
And eating Skittles.
I was grossed out right there already.
Oh, wow. Who did? Darren
Darren Carter, bro. Wearing red, the little red Richard Simmons shorts with the little nylon little underwear in the middle.
Hold on. Are you telling me he got in his like superhero swingers costume?
Yeah, man.
Yes. And tube socks, bro.
Do you think he does swinging?
I have no idea, bro. It was at least 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's probably before and they married. Post,
well, after the show, we get there,
still
man.
Still had hair then?
And there was red hair, bro. His hair on his leg looked like there was a bunch of red ants crawling on him. But we get there, it's $35 to get in each. So we all paid. We get there, and there's like five guys standing up inside of a jacuzzi.
Ready to go.
And this old-ass lady, like at least 48 back then, blowing all of them, bro. And they're like rubbing her head. They're grabbing her little saggy titties. But this is one of the best ever swingers club ever, bro. They had a buffet.
Ha, ha, ha. Chicken wings. Buffet,
and there's a fat lady there wearing a 90. You don't want her to wear a 90, bro. She looked like Honey Boo Boo's mom, and she was 5'1".
I think if you have a vagina, you're always in the game.
It was called Encounters, this place. And then I didn't know that, but Phoenix has swingers bars. There's two of them.
Encounters, tons of them,
Encounters,
dude.
And Chances.
Chances.
There's a magazine dedicated to swingers bar. I didn't even know.
God, it's a community.
Swingers Illustrated?
Yeah, bro. So bring your lady.
This little set Encounter.
Best swingers joke I ever heard within a movie, man. It was that guy they caught masturbating in Hollywood. What's his name?
Paul Rubens? Herman?
Not Paul Rubens. Oh, he does the Christopher Guest movies.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Willard.
You know, I felt so bad for that dude. He's like an old guy. He doesn't understand the internet.
Fred Willard, bro.
His old lady fucking won't leave the house, so he can't jerk off. So he goes somewhere. And he, what kind of person are you when you get fucking put on old man jerk off vice patrol? Like, you got to go down to the Petten Theater and fucking make sure old dudes aren't beating off in theaters. I mean, what kind of human being are you? Imagine being, you join the force because you want to fucking make the world a safer place, and they put you on beat off patrol.
I know, fuck, man.
Dude. Slip on a trench coat.
I don't know if I ever could go that far, bro, beat off in a movie theater, but I think I've been in a fuck movie that theater with a porn playing.
My girlfriend wouldn't leave the house one time, so I went down to a porn theater, and I was in the booth, and one of my friends came up on the videos. It was very uncomfortable. I was like, damn. Oh, my God.
This is a damn. Grown, dog.
I saw a porn video, bro, with a comedian was on it, too, bro.
Wait, is that who were...
The one that
steamy
BBW chick was on a porno with him.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We had him on a podcast. We had Diaz Mackey.
Yeah, I love how he went saying that he just came out. Diaz Mackey, 100%.
I heard two other comedians have been on pornos, but it wasn't those fools.
Which one?
Well, I heard that there was a dude. I was hanging out at the Haha once, and Adam Hunter was there. He's like, "Yeah, man, it's weird. I seen Larry Omaha in a fucking in a porn." Yeah.
No,
but not doing pornography, like as an extra, like as a bartender or something. Like in a softcore porn.
Hollywood's
tough, huh?
I remember Head.
Did you get SAG vouchers for that?
I don't know, fool. And I remember like the one that Head, fool, like he was like, anyone like.
I could just picture Larry Omaha asking for a per diem, bro.
So it wasn't like he was not a star or nothing, but he was like, dude, a softcore.
They actually like have catering on sets. I used to have a great joke about it because I went to this one porn shoot. Steamy. And this guy was walking around with catering, and I'm like, this guy's making pigs in a blanket on a set of pigs in a blanket. You know what I'm saying?
Double entendre.
That is funny, man.
It's fucking nuts.
So you've been involved in the porn industry then?
I've never done it.
So you know TT Boy.
TT Boy, I don't know TT Boy.
But that's a porn star, man. That's a porn star from the 90s. Yeah. That fool used to fucking cuff for like a gallon, dog. Every porno, we'd be like, the only time I jerked off and laughed, bro. TT Boy, bro. You never heard of TT Boy?
What a horrible
name.
Nah,
hell no.
Because he's a good looking guy. Pretty shredded.
Yeah.
TT Boy sounds like a midget, you know?
Yeah, man. He was just a porn star, man. He's done. I think he was dating Wednesday from Adam's Family. That's how far he goes back. Wednesday from the original Adam's Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Christina Ricci?
And no, original also... one. Black and white.
Oh, my God. So she must be an old-ass lady now, huh?
Behind the Green Door. So you've been to the Behind the Green Door?
The Green Door.
Have you seen the movie Behind the Green Door with Marilyn Chambers?
Never.
All right. Have you seen Godfather 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen Godfather 2 when they're in Cuba? And they're watching a Superman porn show.
Yeah, yeah.
You read the book, right? Havana Nights.
Havana Nocturne.
Havana Nocturne, and they talk about going to Cuba, and there's a sex scene, and some black fool shows up with a massive dick.
Right.
Well, you know that's a true story, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was watching Godfather 2, right? And the black guy in the sex scene comes out of a green curtain, like a black green curtain. So now I'm thinking that the fucking brothers who made the porn,
probably,
that they steal it from the Cuban idea.
Of course,
probably,
because in the Behind the Green Door, the same brother comes out of the green door with a cape and a big dick, and he fucks 20-year-old Marilyn Chambers in the movie.
Oh, in the okay.
And in the fucking in Miami, and when they're in Godfather 2 in Cuba. They bring out that chick, and he has sex with her in the same way. I'm thinking they stole the idea and made it into a porn.
That was a big old famous show, dude, back in the days when the mafias were over there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a porn parody at that point, right?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if the Green Door in Vegas was around, and they just based it off that.
Yeah, because I know that the Green Door also in San Francisco.
Marijuana's porn was just so simple back then.
Yeah.
It's like weird.
It was hard to find, huh?
Yeah, the old ones? Yeah, dude. Now it's just like stunt fucking. You're like, dude, people are dying. Felonies being committed here? This is too much.
I know. There's like 20-year-olds doing Viagra, bro. You don't need it, dog. Stay away for me.
Yeah, poor fluffers. They're out of business now. They got replaced by Viagra.
Fluffer, man.
Aaron, what kind of porn do you like to watch with your lady when you guys are making love?
The engineer?
Yeah. Huh. He loves to make love to his lady. He might let us all watch one time.
Damn, dog. So leave Aaron alone, dog.
I remember one time you told a story about two chicks robbing you.
Yeah, it's a true story.
What happened?
So
were they hot at least?
Yeah, they're
fucking. Did a George Costanza on you?
No, you know what's so funny is I was at the Saddle Ranch right there. You know it's trouble.
Yeah, that would be a hot room too, bro. Monday nights.
Well, that's the one in Universal City. Yeah. No, they did stand up at the one in Hollywood.
Oh, that's in Universal Studios.
Yeah. The one at the Hollywood was where I was hanging out, and I just started. You know, this is young Tripoli, like early 20s Tripoli.
Young Tripoli, bro.
Not like fucking beat
break up. Breakdancer Tripoli.
Breaking Tripoli. And I was there, and I just was talking to this Australian guy for some reason. We were just talking. And
hey, mate.
Yeah, all right. And like, you ever been to Australia? Ever done stand-up?
Never.
It's fucking phenomenal. But like, everything's so expensive there because you have to ship it there. So like, even their booze is expensive, everything. So like, you do a shot, it's literally a thimble. There's not a lot of, you know, it's expensive as shit. So they come over here and they order a shot and it's like a fucking bucket, you know? So I'm doing shots with this Australian when these three girls come up and start talking to us. And we start, you know, we're just doing shots and talking shit. And I'm like, hey, you want to go back to my place? I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah. So I grab this Australian guy. I don't even know why. I throw him in my car. The girls follow me back to my place. And I get the cute one and we're starting to fool around, right? Out of nowhere, these girls just grab the girl. We got to go. Bye. Grab the girls and run out. And I literally chase them with pulling my pants up, going, what the fuck's going on? I go out. The Australian dude is passed out. He's blacked out, passed out, gone. Couldn't hang with the Americans, right? Gone. The girls jump in their car, drive out. I come out. They stole a fucking wad of cash, a bunch of fucking CDs, because this was at the time, and a bunch of fucking Xbox games. Because me and my friends play Xbox. Just jacked them all, dude. Ran off with them. Stole it, dude. Ran a fucking scheme on me. They have the cute one fucking fool around with me while they just go through all my shit. And it's just like, I'm like, I go to Australia, I'm like, God damn, you were supposed to watch everything. And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. And he was just fucking out the whole time.
The fuck out of here.
Fuck.
Damn. Well, they put a fast one on you. Hollywood chicks or something or what?
Hollywood hairstylist.
He put a fast one on like chick too? Whoa. Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, my God. That sucks, dude.
Do you ever do old bits?
Yeah, man. I know the crowd's not paying attention.
When I show up,
Punchline, Atlanta, Thursday show, and I see those 35 people there, they're getting the worst comedy ever.
Dude, I feel bad. Like, you know, I hang out with Rogan, and I love Rogan, Joe Rogan. He's always like, new material. And I feel bad when I do old jokes, but I have some classics. Like, the other night, out of nowhere, I just pulled out like a 20-year-old bit, like 21, 22-year-old bit, and it crushed. And I was like, probably has listened to my first CD.
I think if it's not on tape on Showtime and running on Netflix or on the whole thing, not on YouTube, you could still do it because nobody ever heard it.
Like, what if it's on like an old album? An old album.
I would do it, man.
It's your material, dude. You know what I mean?
I would do it before somebody makes it into a meme.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been thinking about just going through I put out three albums, taking the best ones. And just adding them to, like, I have a new, like, I just put out my album, like 3 months ago. And I have a new, like, 35, 40. But I want to make it a murder hour. And taking some of my classics that I know, you know, even though if you, like, especially now, you put a CD out on, like, iTunes, you're lucky to sell 100 or 200 because everybody just Spotify's it now. It's like nobody's buying CDs anymore. It's like you do an hour and then you just throw out the fucking the audio for fucking free, you know? Just so I'm thinking about going back, getting all the old good shit, putting it together and trying to put out this killer hour. I have this bit about smoking crack that I didn't do on my last album that I want to put out. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on doing old jokes.
Do it, man.
Yeah, that's
you smoked crack before?
Once.
When?
My first day in Hollywood.
Fuck. You did it all,
welcome,
man,
to the big city. Got robbed. Hit the pipe.
That's my wallet. Left my wallet in El Segundo. How was, what, you didn't like it?
Dude, when you smoke crack, the only thing you're thinking when you smoke crack is, I'm smoking crack, I'm smoking crack, I'm smoking crack, I'm smoking crack. I can't believe I'm smoking crack. I can't believe I'm smoking crack. Then this dude tried to suck my dick, so I punched him and I fucking ran off.
It happens, bro.
It happens, dude.
Did
you punch that fool?
It happens,
fuck that,
man. You know, there ain't no chicks around.
Get weird, dog. People get weird.
Starts out with a hug, a whisper.
Then
you know there's a guy on the floor with a bottle over his head. Talking about por qué.
Oh, dude. Fucking A, man.
I remember when I was in rehab, there was a guy that he goes, listen, man, times were bad, eh? I said, come on, man. You're going to tell me you went down on somebody. Some crack, don't you?
Right away, huh?
He goes, nah, man. But I let guys do it, eh? For
fuck
what?
Fuck that, dude. Because,
you know, they're smoking me out, eh? And the guy wants to blow me, so fuck it, eh?
Fucking
I'm already smoking crack. It can't get worse than this. It could, bro. It could.
Ah, yeah, dog.
Now, do you party anymore?
Not anymore, man. I stopped partying in 2009. I just smoked weed, but I stopped drinking.
You don't drink anymore?
Because you get fucked up.
Yeah.
You ever go to that party house in Burbank?
No.
Nobody goes. I guess only me and yours to know about it. And the other comedian, the one that passed away in Las Vegas.
Who? Oh,
that brother?
Brother.
Jamie.
KP. Katie.
That was so sad. Katie. That was so sad.
Fucking horrible, dog.
Goes to try to save people. Nobody helps them and they kill them.
Like Joey Diaz always says, just mind your business.
He saved people's lives, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
Dude, that guy was going to go shoot a bunch of fucking people, and that guy fucking fought him, and nobody came and helped him. It was really sad.
Security guard ran, huh?
Ran. But I don't blame him. How much you getting paid? Not enough.
Fuck that, dog.
Not enough. Yeah, dude. You go to Vegas at all?
I haven't been there since I did the 4 Bs, right?
Yeah.
The triple B, billiards, brew, and something.
Oh, yeah. With what's his face? Carlos? Big
Fremont.
Big Daddy Carlos?
Yeah, Big Daddy.
You know that fool?
I did shows out there, yeah.
Yeah, Big Daddy Carlos. He's a character, man. Him and his wife.
Yeah, they own the Velvet Margarita out here. It's wonderful.
Yeah, they were telling me that they're going to have a big old fundraiser for something, and they want me to come.
A red carpet event?
You know that guy?
Well, we met him that one day.
He's like
show.
A character, huh?
Yeah, tattooed. Was he like a professional football player or something?
I don't know,
or
but he had a fucking cowboy hat on.
Yeah, and sunglasses.
He's a great dude, though, dude. He's a good dude.
Like, him and the lady used to party hard. Or
they still party.
Or we're at a party where people were partying hard and they were watching.
I love Vegas, dude.
What's the craziest party that you ever been to since you've been in Hollywood? Like 20-year-old Tripoli. Or you just
the craziest
said,
part? I mean, I used
now
to
you
throw
could
them.
Avoid them. Yeah, like, tell us.
After Naughty Show, we bring everybody there. There was Coke. There was fucking
Dublin's
blow.
And shit?
Dublin's was nuts.
Celebrities and shit?
I used to either absolutely annihilate or bomb, dude. One time there was a...
I like his honesty.
I know, huh?
Some people don't admit it, bro.
Fuck no.
Some people they come over here, or we talk to them off the podcast. They never talk about it. They always had great sets.
Always tore it up.
Always tore it up.
Oh,
always got a deal after the show.
Yeah, the agent came up to me talking about it. I've never seen nothing like this.
It's
people came up to me and said, you're undeniable.
No, dude, it's very rare now that I bomb. Undeniable. I have weird sets. I have some weird sets.
Welcome to the club.
You know, I don't see you ever having even close to a bad set.
I think I die internally, bro. I feel it inside, man, when the ha-ha is not the same way as last week.
No,
usually this joke ends with an applause break. I've told audiences that this joke kills in the hood.
But I every time I see you, it's like annihilation.
I'm trying a new joke sometimes.
That's the hardest thing about LA now. It's just like it's so hard to find place to do new jokes.
Yeah, man.
It's like I'm trying to start this new room just for new jokes where guys can go and just do new material and not have to worry about, you know, because like the lineups at the Comedy Store, it's all murder fest. So like Pablo Francisco a long time ago said to me, you don't do new jokes at the improv. So I don't ever do new jokes at the improv unless I know it's a killer new joke. Not the Comedy Store. That's where I used to work shit out. And now it's not like that, dude. They have famous people all the way up to midnight now. And, you know, the Laugh Factory's here and there. It's, I like that place. But it's like, where do you do your new material?
I do my new material on Sundays at the wherever I'm at. Like, if I'm working at the Punchline. No, I'm not working there. At the Atlanta Punchline, I do the new material on Sunday show and the Thursday show. But, like, now that I taped my one-hour special, September 30 on HBO.
Yeah, man.
The contract says I can't do those jokes anywhere no more.
What?
I can't. The hour, I can't perform at live shows.
Ever?
Until it's released. I can't do it.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've been struggling, bro. But I like it, though, because my shit's darker now, dog.
Well, dude, you've earned the right to go where you want to go.
Yeah, now I could go. I earned the right now. Now if I want to talk about my brother coming out, I could do jokes about my brother coming out of prison worst as a born-again Christian. I could do that joke without getting the microphone snatched away from me.
Hey, you have skills, though,
I have more confidence to tell a new joke than before.
Well,
like,
you've created your own market, and it's like, you know, it's like I just did a little work with Doug Stanhope. I got to pop in on his Syracuse show. I headlined the Syracuse Funny Bone, and then he let me pop in for tell a quick my crack-smoking story in his show. But if you watch his show, he'll even tell you his crowds come for blood and they want him to go fucking weird. You know, it's like, these are your crowds.
Yeah.
You're filling the room. You should be able to go up there and go boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, pop, pop. And for fucking an hour, if you fucking want to, because it's your fucking crowd. You should be able to take a shit on the stage, set it on fire. As long as it sells out and they buy two drinks, the club should never say anything. So you could get as dark as you want to. It's your fucking thing, man. That's the beauty of making it.
We blackface dark, bro.
Yeah.
It's so dark.
What's up, fool? What's your Twitter, Instagram, for people to follow you?
At Sam Tripoli, TRIPOLI, Sam Tripoli. I have all the Instagrams, and I have a YouTube page now. I'm really working hard on my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Sam Tripoli, TRIPOLI. I put up something every day. I put up all my podcasts. And check out the Diabolical, man. Two discs for the price of one. Storytelling. I tell about getting being on the run from a police helicopter and getting away. I got away, dude. And
tell the story here.
I got away.
Grand Theft Auto over here, dog.
100%. That's a true story. And
Triple on the run.
Driving with no CDs.
Yeah, dude. All this crazy shit. So check it out, man. It went to number one on iTunes. I have two albums that went to number one.
Are you on Sound Exchange? You getting paid for this?
Yeah.
But, all right, I want to make sure.
Yeah, so we'll
see.
A lot
of albums out there, hell man. Yeah, it should be sending you a check. Because my stuff plays on Spotify, when it plays on Pandora, when some idiot decides to play on the radio without asking me, I get money, man.
Yeah.
Sound good.
The problem with Spotify is it's not set. They have to change it, dude, because Spotify is meant for music. I mean, if I like Felipe's jams, I might listen to that over and over and over again, right? But a joke, like, you listen to it once, maybe twice, and you get paid the same as a song, which is a completely horrible way of paying. Like, they should pay more for jokes.
I think they're working on that right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they have to do something.
Well, I made it up. Well, we're going to be at Edwin Sawan
17th through the 24th this month at the V Theater and Planet Hollywood in Vegas. With
Edwin, that's great.
Yeah. When do you start going there?
Monday.
Monday? Next Monday?
Yeah, I love Edwin.
Fuck, 7 days?
Yeah, and then we're going to come back to do a show at the Brea Improv on the 20th.
And then drive back?
And drive back that night. And Chivo's going to be there, dog.
What?
In the...
We're not going to have a podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
When does this go out?
On Friday. Friday morning.
Okay, Friday night, I'm at the Ice House. Tonight, when this comes out, I'm with Jim Florentine at the Ice House. Then I want you guys to do it the 25th at the Comedy Store if you can. It's Comedy Chaos. I already have a fucking murder lineup. I'd love for you guys to be part of it. And then I am at Toronto, I'm at the Comedy Corner, the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. So come out and see me.
Is that Comedy Corner with that guy, Joe Chichito?
Yeah.
Joe, he's cool, bro.
I love Toronto. It's my favorite city to gig, bro. Dude.
I was telling Rodrigo when I went to go do that show at the Underground Cafe.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time. Man. Puff Mama.
They have bongs, right? Yeah. All the tables have bongs.
You walk out, it's like Gorilla in the Mist. You just see fucking dark shit moving in the fucking smoke.
Puff Mama selling fucking weed brownies on the side.
Damn.
It was good stuff there, bro.
I bet, dude.
Oh, man. As soon as the food picked me up, he had fucking five blunts already rolled up, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude.
He goes, man, these are for you. And then he lit one of his, bro. I thought, sometimes they give you five blunts and you're going to light one of yours up. Nah, man, he lit his up, gave me my five for the rest of the week. Hell
yeah. Canada has mad smoke.
For on the way into this gig in Toronto.
And great Coke. I don't do it anymore, but it is great.
On the way into this, I'll be surprised, though.
No, I am too. You're like, how far do they got to put? This poor guy has to come with coke in his ass all the way up to fucking Canada. But, dude, it's like.
Toronto's a spot for all that shit.
All dudes,
must be coming
anywhere.
In from New York by boat and then going to Toronto.
Probably.
Because if that shit gets there from Florida or Texas, it has to be stepped on a lot of times.
Oh, dude, L.A.'s got the worst coke.
Probably goes,
that's a big
all the
reason
way to
I quit.
Chi-Town, Detroit, and then there, too.
That's a big reason I quit.
It wasn't like that in the 90s, though. Well, anyways. We got a couple of shout-outs, people. Okay, man, no podcast for the next 2 weeks until further notice. You never know, man. I might bust a podcast of Corpus. We might put it out there, but it's going to be the sound quality. It won't be good, but we'll blame it on an engineer. What's up, fool? Shout-out to Biker80, who gave us a good iTunes review. He listens in the kitchen while he cooks. He's a vegan chef for the L.A. Archdiocese. A couple of priests there are vegan. This weekend, July 13th to the 15th, Corpus Christi, Texas, at Mesquite Street Comedy Club. Next weekend, July 20th to 23rd, I'll be in Tampa, Florida at the Tampa Improv. Hit me up at fans@philippasworld.com for free tickets to Tampa Improv. Only Tampa. July 27th through the 29th in Des Moines, Iowa. Just added July 25th and 26th in Montreal, Just for Laughs Festival. August 3rd and 5th at the Levity Live in Oxnard. All right, man. That's it.
We did it!
Oh, man. You know, people, I fucking finally got me a Costco card, bro. And I saw the people coming out of Costco.
Uh-huh.
Fuck it. It looks like bad, out of shape people, bro. That shouldn't be at Costco.
They have bomb ass Costco hot dogs.
I didn't go there. Well, I didn't know that man. I bought a pair of T-shirts when I got it home. There was six T-shirts in there, bro. I'm used to only two in a pack.
Damn.
What's up, fool? Sam Tripoli here
in the house.
I remember, man. Before we go, there used to be another comedian, bro. I used to confuse you guys in the beginning. Sam Bowie. Or Sam Bowbelt or Sam Bow?
You know? No, I don't remember him.
Okay, we're gonna scratch that out. What's up, fool? Check out Sam Tripoli on iTunes, Instagram. Check out his show tonight at the Ice House with Jim Florentine. Check that shit out. Buy his album. Download that shit. When you see a man, tell him what's up, fucking Sam Tripoli. I was hoping to get a lap dance on one of your comedy shows on stage.
We'll make it happen.
What's up, Rodrigo? What you got, Rodrigo?
The Concert Lounge, Riverside, California. July 26th, we have Annie McKnight.
Did Ahmed Ahmed show up that night?
Yeah, he showed up. It was cool, though.
I love Ahmed Ahmed.
But we don't have any show, no show next week on the 19th, but the 26th.
What's up, fool?